Tired of having teachers snatch your precious iPod and mobile phone? Then welcome to iHistory, where the stories of yesterday and the technology of today come together. The spire of Sacred Heart Cathedral is one of the most recognisable landmarks in Bendigo. You can see it from almost everywhere. Some of you may have been inside it, perhaps for a wedding or funeral. Like every building, it has many stories attached to it. It is representative of the massive Irish population that inhabited Bendigo, who were mainly Catholic. As you walk around inside the church, you get to know more about the different parts. One note, Sacred Heart Cathedral might seem old, but in some ways it's surprisingly modern. The bells are powered by a computer, and two of the statues outside are protected from vandalism by bulletproof plastic. But first of all, how did it get here in the first place? The cathedral as we see it now wasn't completely built until 1975, even though it was started in 1896. Basically, the church ran out of money, so the builders walled up the church in 1901, and the church was used as it was. Inside the church, you can see where the new part starts because the colour of the stone changes. Bishop Crane was the man who decided a cathedral should be built. Partly, he wanted to give jobs to people in Bendigo, because unemployment was pretty high in the 1890s as the mining industry was struggling. Unfortunately, by the time the cathedral had been built, he was blind and couldn't see what he'd begun. But where did they get the money for this? Well, George Lansell, the wealthy mining investor, loaned them about £30,000, or about $5 million, to get started. He made quite a bit of money out of this loan, as the interest was 6%, and the Catholic Church was only able to start paying him back in 1902. Why was this? Well, the first Catholic priest on the Bendigo goldfields was Henry Backhouse. He had already been a priest in India and Ireland before coming to Bendigo. He was a talented musician and businessman, seemed to be loved by both rich and poor, and his funeral attracted thousands. Anyway, what does he have to do with the money for the cathedral? He bought up lots of property in his early days in Bendigo. He then left this land to the church with a couple of conditions. One condition was that if the church sold some of the land, they had to buy other land. This meant the money would almost never run out. The second condition was that the money couldn't be accessed until 1902. That's why the church couldn't start paying back George Lansell until 1902. Eventually, Bishop Stewart, in 1952, decided that the cathedral should be finished. While they were doing this, they tried to restore the wooden angels on the ceiling, but they came to pieces. Each of the angels was taken down, taken apart, screwed together, and then placed back on the ceiling. Let's now move through the chapel. Look at the floor plan to work out where you need to go. Everything in this cathedral has a meaning. For example, look out for the 12 consecration crosses. They were put here when the complete cathedral was opened in 1977, and they represent Jesus' 12 followers. Let's start with St. Augustine's Chapel. Pause the recording here. St. Augustine's Chapel was put here because the first two bishops were Augustinian priests. Augustine was a Christian thinker in the 4th century. If you look closely at the crucifix, you'll see that there are four figures on it. These represent the four stories of Jesus' life, told by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's move to the mortuary. Pause the recording here. The mortuary, or the mortuary chapel, is where the bishops of Bendigo are buried when they die. Yes, underneath your feet somewhere, there are four dead people. Because of health regulations, the church had to get special permission to bury them. They're sealed in limestone. The Bendigo bishops are not particularly well known for much. Although Bishop Crane was well known for initiating the cathedral building, and also for not being able to see it when it was completed due to blindness caused by cataracts. Bishop Stewart had arguments with the Prime Minister of the day, Gough Whitlam, about whether Catholic schools should get funding from the government, and it looks like he won that argument. The current bishop is Joe Gretsch from Malta. Let's now move to the main sanctuary. Pause the recording here. As you face the sanctuary, you'll see two lecterns with a sculpture of an eagle. One of these was donated by George Lancel. The left one. The right one is just a copy. As said before, George certainly was generous to the cathedral, but they also got a lot back through their repayments of his $5 million loan. The intricate chair towards the back is the bishop's chair, made by Ferdinand Stufflesser. The two men on either side are St. Patrick on the left and St. Augustine on the right. Let's now move to the baptismal chapel. Pause the recording here. The baptismal chapel is where people get baptized or christened. Edward McCormick, the person in whose memory the font was built, actually came from Eaglehawk. According to the Bendigo Advertiser of Monday the 24th of December 1900, he was found dead by his daughter. He was a councillor for Eaglehawk and made his money hauling wood to the mines. This was a lucrative job because the mines needed wood to burn to power the steam engines that drew rock up from the shaft. Okay, that's all for inside. Don't forget to do the outside tasks as well. That's all for now. You have a list of evidence that you need to be gathering. Get to it!